It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, December 26th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. By now, the tech world is familiar with transparency reports from companies like Google, Apple, and Facebook. The reports detail a number of metrics, like how many law enforcement requests have come in for email data. The takeaway from Google this year, by the way, was that, shocker, government snooping is way up. Now, just before 2013 draws to a close, the world is getting a new set of reports from older tech companies, Verizon and AT&T. Count Time magazine tech reporter Sam Gustin among the surprised.
This is like, you know, from the when hell freezes over department.
Gustin says the move from both companies reflects growing pressure from civil liberties groups. He says we'll get data from Verizon and AT&T on government subpoenas, court orders, and warrants, but there's also stuff we won't get.
The reports will not separately disclose information about requests received under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, which is the controversial law that facilitates many NSA programs, and the simple reason is that FISA orders remain classified.
Gustin points out that doesn't mean the orders will always be classified. Both tech companies and advocacy groups are still pushing for more transparency. An important round in one of the world's highest-profile robotics challenges wrapped up this month. It was part of a contest put on by the Pentagon's research arm DARPA. Robots were expected to tackle challenges like those presented by the Fukushima nuclear disaster. The winning team was from a Japanese robotics company owned by Google. Our friend and tech critic Molly Wood joins us to talk about this. Hi, Molly.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. So tell me about this contest and who won.
This most recent contest was inspired by Fukushima. DARPA said that it was watching with interest rescue efforts, and it was clear that what they needed was to be able to send a robot into the building and shut off the valves. And I think that there was a sense in the tech community that those robots already existed. And as it turns out, they do not exist.
Uh-huh.
And so DARPA is now trying to help spur that development.
Push this forward for me, Molly. What might we see in the near future for different kinds of robotics?
So far, every time DARPA has done a specific challenge like this, like with autonomous vehicles, you've seen the industry take a huge leap forward. $1 million is obviously a big chunk of research money, and it just focuses efforts.
Do you have a sense of what the big challenges might be?
I've had the opportunity to interact with what is arguably the most advanced humanoid robot in the world.
Uh-huh.
And watching it is absolute agony. Because it moves unbelievably slowly. It has to...
You can do it. You can do it.
Go robot. So there are all these issues in terms of seeing and processing the environment around it. And so then you put these robots into an environment where there are unexpected obstacles. The robot actually has to react to a situation. It really makes you grateful for our brains as a human. And it makes you realize how hard this really is.
Molly Wood, our good friend and tech critic, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Marketplace Tech is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and compelling, please consider making a tax-deductible gift in any amount to Marketplace today. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. Here's a big number for you. 5 zettabytes. That's a 5 with 21 zeros after it, and it's the amount of digital information that will be generated this year. There are a lot of promises about what big data can do. Take Google's Ngram Viewer, where you put in words or phrases and you can see a graph of their occurrence in literature over the last 2 centuries. The tool's creators, Erez Aydin and J.B. Michel, have a new book called Uncharted: Big Data as a Lens on Human Culture. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
What is unique about this data set, Erez? What is interesting about pulling this kind of data? What can it tell us?
What this allows you to do is to do analyses, crude analyses, but analyses nonetheless, on significant fractions of all books ever published, which gives you insight into the historical record as a whole in a way that you wouldn't necessarily get by reading individual books.
JB, what are things that you discovered during your process of building this tool and interacting with it that were sort of surprising to you, some trends with word use?
None come to mind in particular apart from the word evolution.
Because?
Because it actually shows 2 inflection points in its trajectory. when Darwin published The Origin of Species.
Of course.
And the second one in the 20th century, shortly after the DNA double helix was discovered in 1953. It's impossible to say that these events actually caused the inflections. However, I like to think that maybe they do.
What are some applications that you've seen or that you would love to see of the tool that you've built?
Well, actually, it's a bit meta. So I would like to see people do that with other content, photos, manuscripts, pieces of art that were done centuries ago. There is a structure by which we evolve as a group. Mm-hmm. And I think we know next to nothing about that in quantitative terms. When you compare it with biological evolution, we know nothing of cultural evolution. And digitization enables that.
Erez, what's next for you in terms of using data like this? What are you thinking about?
One of the things that's been very striking to me is that sometimes for certain kinds of engrams, we can actually predict where an engram is going. And the ability to do that kind of quantitative prediction is extremely, extremely exciting, I think, not just for elementary school student who might just be discovering their interest in history, but as a deep research question, as a deep question about how our society works.
Erez Aden and J.B. Michelle are the authors of Uncharted, Big Data as a Lens on Human Culture. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Remember, you can always engage with us online. We're at Marketplace Tech on Twitter or marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.